Amen. We turn back to Psalm 103 this morning, and we'll have a look at this Psalm of David, keeping in mind that we have that witness from the book of Hebrews of the great blessings that God has given unto us, and how the Lord looks upon us and treats us as one family in worship with him. David's writing this psalm, many folk think that this psalm was written when David was in a time of rest after he had been in battle with Saul, or even in battle with his own son who tried to take David's life. But most of the commentaries that we have and familiar with in the Reformed Church believe that this was a psalm that was written in a prophetic manner, that David was writing it not only for himself at the time, but for everyone who was coming after himself, that they too could give thanks unto the Lord. And he starts this psalm, as he does with one or two other psalm, 104 also. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. It is very common for us when we come to prayer to ask the Lord for blessings. It's very often that we ask the Lord to bless us as a gathering, bless us as a family, to bless our nation, to bring in a great wonder of revival of his work. But how many of us think of blessing the Lord? Blessing the Lord. This is what David is at on this. He's blessing the Lord, not just a simple say that if someone was to cough or sneeze and someone will say, bless you. No, this comes with a deeper, deeper meaning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Right in from his very being, everything that God created in him. We remember in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, you'll find that the Lord created Adam out of dust, and he said that man has become a living soul. Man has become a living soul. And this is what David is blessing the Lord with. The whole being, everything that he can muster within himself, everything that he has as a man, everything that he can bring to the fore, he said, bless thy soul, all that is within me. He was nothing out. All that was in me. And this is perhaps one of the most difficult things for us to do as Christians, is to bless the Lord. To actually bless the Lord for all his goodness to us, for all he has done for us, for all the works that he has done unto us. We bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. And that's a great thing to remember, that God's name is holy. It's that holy that even today the Jewish people won't use the name God, G-O-D. They won't even want to write it out. They believe it's that holy, it shouldn't be spoken, it shouldn't be written down. They'll use all the other names for the Lord, but they will not use the name God. And they will not want to speak it, for they believe it's so holy that when it is spoken, it can only be spoken in the deepest reverence to God and to God alone. His name is so holy, and this is what David is coming out in us. We have to have this voice of grateful thanks unto God, to let God know that we bless him as he blesses us. Bless my soul. It's a very difficult thing, as I said, for us. We're always too busy or too anxious asking God for blessings. And that's the human nature of us. But should we take time just to bless the Lord? Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What the Lord has given to us, all of our daily living. What is it that the Lord taught the disciples to say in the prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord gives us everything. All things come from God. We must not forget to return thanks to the Lord in blessing him for all his benefits to us, for our health, our strength, but more so for Christ, for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, for sending his Son into this world. While we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. Christ came and died for us. What a wonderful gift. Not just the gift of life. Not just that the Lord took the dust of the earth and breathed into it and created man and gave man a living soul. But that living soul became destructive and it forgotten the blessing of God and it turned upon God. It turned upon God. We read there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, how man became a living soul. When we turn to Genesis chapter 3, and the Lord says to Adam, have thou eaten of the fruit of the tree? And Adam turns on God, turns right round, and says, the woman that thou gavest me. He's putting the blame on God. And many of us, there was no blessing in the garden. Adam didn't come forth and say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm like David in that great Psalm 51. I have sinned and against thee only have I sinned. There was no forgiveness. Adam did not plead with God for forgiveness. But he blamed God for giving them the woman. You see, we have to be careful that we don't turn things round about, that we don't take God's blessing and throw it back in his face. We have to be careful how we use God's word and how we go about blessing the Lord. So let's see how David does it in this psalm. He goes through in verse 4, he says, who redeemeth the life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How the Lord redeemed us, how the Lord took us to Calvary, and how we were washed in the blood of Christ. We were redeemed. The Lord redeemed us by our life. And he took us from destruction, that final destruction, that destruction when the Lord would say, depart from me, I know thee not, thou workers of iniquity. And were cast in to that everlasting fire. Whoever's name's not found written in the Lamb's book of life is cast into the lake of fire. He redeemeth thy life. He redeems our life. He removes the sin, every stain of it. He removes it. And what does he do? He crowns us with loving kindness. With loving kindness. Oh, how the Lord brings that loving kindness down upon us. It's like the prodigal son returning and the father seeing him a far way off and the father runs and falls upon him and kisses him that loving kindness of the Father. He knows the Son had been wayward. He knows the Son had squandered his life. But he sees the Son coming home to plead with his Father, even just to be made a servant in the house. But he pleads. He doesn't get to plead, because the loving kindness of the Father falls upon him and brings him into the loving care of the family. There is Christ. This is what Christ does for us. At Calvary, when he shed his blood for us, he brought us that great salvation, that great redemption of our sins, and he crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy. His mercy was so tender. What is it we often ask the Lord to do when we pray, "In thy wrath, remember mercy"? Here is the mercy of the Lord. Here is whom we should be receiving the chastisement because of our sins, because of what we have done and turned against the glory of God. He lovingly puts his arms around us, and his mercy is so wonderful to us that Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses away. And we see that David knows of the love of God, and he knows of the great blessings of God. For there in verse 7, he says, "He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel." See, David is writing from the history of his own people. He knows what the Lord has done. He knows how the Lord redeemed Israel, brought them out of captivity, and brought them through the Red Sea and through the desert, and sustained them, and he kept them. And he knows that the Lord will sustain and keep us also through all the troubles that wait for us. The troubles that waited for the children of Israel when they were in the desert. Those who would raise up, they were there. The Lord brought them food. He brought them water. Their clothes didn't rot. Even the sandals on their feet, the sand couldn't destroy it. They were kept. And the Lord kept them. And his way was merciful unto them. And the Lord will keep us. And his word will continue to feed us and uphold us. And the Lord says, "He has not dealt with us after our sins." Verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins. What do our sins deserve? They deserve rejection. They deserve to be put away from God. They deserve to have nothing to do. The Lord to have nothing to do with, because we have rejected him. We have sinned. We have taken his commandments. And it's as though we have ripped them in half and thrown them away. We've just ripped them up. We have lied. We've been dishonest. We have coveted. We haven't honoured the Sabbath day. We haven't honoured our parents. We haven't honoured one another. We have broken the commandments. And the Lord hasn't dealt with us like that. He doesn't put his hand out and say, "Stop." He doesn't crush us. He doesn't thrust us away from himself. He sent Christ to redeem us. He sent Christ to fetch us back into us. Christ said, "I did not come to judge the world, but to seek and to save those that were lost." This is the Father's mercy. He didn't deal with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Oh, how the Lord overlooked him through Christ's blood. When Christ's blood flowed over and washed us, the Lord God cleansed us from all unrighteousness. It was gone. Our sins were gone. Our unrighteousness was gone. We were given a new cloak of God's righteousness through Christ Jesus. All our iniquities, all our injustices were gone. All of our self-importance would have been taken away. How the Lord looked upon us. He looked on Adam in that garden with anger, for it says that he drove them out of the garden at the close of chapter 3. He drove them out of the garden. But here he looks on us with love. And he looks on us and the blessings that he has given us. But we too must share those blessings. We must be prepared to show others the blessings that Christ has given to us. We must be prepared to tell them of the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that way, it helps us to bless the Lord by spreading his loving kindness and his tender mercies, by telling others what Christ can do and how the Lord can remove that sin from their life. Perhaps today it's very difficult because people don't want to know about sin. Sin has taken many forms, but laws and what has happened over the past 100 years or so have changed. And so what we know as sin and what we believe to be sin, the law is changing. The law is making void the voice of the gospel, the voice of the psalmist, the voice of the disciples, the law of the land. But it's not God's law. God's law still says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, come short of his glory. His law doesn't change. His commandments haven't changed. He says, thou shalt not, still is the same commandment today, thou shalt not. It hasn't changed. It cannot change. I am the Lord, he says, and I change not. And neither can his word. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities, our injustices. When we are unjust, like Adam, turning on God and blaming God. When we blame others, or we are can't be bothered listening to someone, it becomes an iniquity within us. And we have to try and put that aside under the grace of God. The Lord says in verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear him. So great is our Lord's mercy. Do we fear the Lord? Do we actually have a fear in our life that when we think in the Lord and his majesty, and we think in how great his majesty is, and what the Lord can do, how he split the Red Seas in a moment, how he rolled that stone away from the tomb where Christ lay. When our Lord has that power, that authority over all of nature which he created. What authority will he has over our life? Authority is an authority that makes us fear God, not in a bad or terrible way like we might fear the darkness of the night or a great storm, but to fear God that our lives are useless without him. Our lives are poor if we don't have God in them. The fear of losing the power of God in our lives. Are we afraid of that? Are we afraid that the Lord will remove himself from us? So great is the mercy towards them that fear him. The Lord's mercy. And the more we rely on the Lord, and the more that we can offer the Lord, the more and greater his mercy is to us. We fear him, that we're not doing enough for him. We're not being the persons we should be. But that's natural. That's a natural, it's in each and every one of us. We always feel that we're not doing enough. But we must remember that it's the Lord who puts the opportunity in front of us. It's the Lord who supplies. It's the Lord who gives. We can't go out and drag people in, and we can't convert them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit and God working in the hearts of men and women. See what the Lord has done for us. See how great his blessing is to us. I wonder if our blessing to him can match. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. So far. East and west can never meet. Can never come. Because we're still going round and round. But there we have it. That's how far the Lord has removed our transgressions for him. He has taken them so far away from us that they're lost in his sea of forgetfulness. He has taken them and he has cleansed us. He has washed us in the blood of his Son at Calvary. And without that cleansing, then we are still in our sin. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That word pitieth doesn't mean that we think in a little child or somebody that's hurt themselves and we say, oh, pity, he's done that or she's done that. But this word pity, it goes even deeper than love, even deeper in the love that we know one to another. But like a father pitieth, like a father loveth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. This is the Lord. But what about us? We come there and we say, how can we bless the Lord? How can we bless the Lord? You know, Psalmist tells us in verse 20, bless ye the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord. hearken unto his word, keeping his word. The psalmist says in another psalm, 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Keeping the word of God, keeping his commandments, letting others know that we are keep the commandments and the word of God, and that we listen to God's voice speaking to us through the scriptures, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the word that we have in front of us. And this is what Paul is getting at there in Hebrews 12. He's blessing the Lord because of the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. All of their testimonies are not lost and for nothing. Their testimonies are there to encourage us, to build us up in the faith, to give us strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage us to keep the commandments and to keep the word, to keep all that the Lord has told us, to keep it safe in our hearts and listen to it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run it with patience. Don't try to outrun the Lord. Don't try to outsmart him, but to run with patience. Wait upon the Lord, waiting upon him. Paul is at great lengths in the church to get them to understand that to bless the Lord, we have to know him and we have to be in obedience to him. But further not, in verse 2 he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, not unto man, not unto the glories of man, not unto what man has accomplished, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. Christ came into this world. He came in to save us, to redeem us, to take the sin of our life from us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We can't have faith in any other, for there is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12. We're told that. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Only in Jesus Christ. Only Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Only Christ brings us that faith in the beginning, like an author sitting down and putting his pen on the paper. Christ takes our sins away and he finishes our faith when he says to his Father in heaven, they are mine. They are washed in my blood. These are mine. For thou gavest them unto me. John 17, read the priestly prayer of the Lord. And you see there that his Father has given us to Christ. So Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. No one else. And as we said earlier, that's where we have it. But there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is nobody else. Nobody can mediate between you and God, only the Lord Jesus Christ. What it says in John, I am the door. I am the door. Christ is the only way to come unto the Father. We've got to bless the Lord, and we bless him when we return unto him. Think of the blessing the Father got when he saw the prodigal son coming back home. It couldn't contain the Father. He had to run and fall on him. And when Christ brings us to his Father receives us with that loving kindness and that mercy. The Father. And what is it Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1? Therefore, being justified by faith, being justified by our faith in Christ, justified that Christ is the Son of God, that he paid for our sins at Calvary, and he washed them away by his blood. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. What a blessing when we can return to God and give him thanks for Christ. Give him thanks for washing our sins away in the blood of his only begotten Son, and for restoring that peace that was broken in the garden. That peace when Adam says, the woman that thou gavest me, when he turned against God. That peace that passeth understanding. That peace is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name is good enough. No other one can come and take his place. No one else shed blood at Calvary for us. No one else cried out on that cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. No one else. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our witness before his Father. We are his witness before the world, but Christ is our witness before his Father. Will he witness for us? Will he see the blessing in us? And will he see how we restore that blessing to his Father by accepting his Son, being washed in his blood, and by committing ourselves into the service of our Heavenly Father? Is it Joshua says before he died to the people, choose you this day whom ye will serve. For as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord our God. What a blessing if we can say that. If we can say that, like Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that in thy word we are encouraged to come and to bless thee, not just to ask for blessings, but to return blessings unto thee, to give thee thanks for Jesus Christ, to give thee thanks for that horrendous death on Calvary, to hang in that cursed tree. And yet, O Father, it was for us, for me, for each one of us, that Christ suffered and died. His blood is the blood that cleanses from all unrighteousness. And we praise thee and thank thee, Father. We bless thy name for Christ. And we pray, Father, that thou would receive our blessings and that thou would continue with us throughout the days of our life and in Christ by our side May we witness for him as he witnesses for us. For we ask.